Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to the people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you. We give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ,
the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who had received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The earth. Reading from the first letter of John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the things I really enjoyed about my many years in parish ministry was premarital instruction. That was because I really got the opportunity to get to know the people whose blessing of their marriage I was about to perform. And even when I did it for someone who was going to be married elsewhere, which occasionally we do that sort of thing, we help each other out that way, I still really enjoyed it and was able to, in most cases, almost all cases, fully recommend that marriage was the right track for the couples with whom I engaged in premarital instruction. Two of the things that I always said to the couple, regardless of their age or background, was every married couple should have children. Now, don't jump to conclusions. I don't necessarily mean little human beings that come out of their physical union and run around on the floor and then grow up to be whatever they're going to be. But every married couple should have children. That is to say that every married couple should have something that they produce together. Something that they are able to say, it's part mine and part yours, and we did it together, and we produced something that went on to become an important part of our world. The second thing I used to say had along the same lines, in the same particular part of the premarital instruction, was that when you add a child, you don't just add one more person to the relationship. You add three new relationships. three new relationships at least. That is, the mother to the child, the father to the child, and the child to the couple. The mother and child relationship, the father and child relationship, the child's relationship to the relationship of the couple. So it's not just adding a third person, it's adding three new aspects of the relationship, which explains why it's so significant that Jesus would, not as he was approaching these new followers who were newly entered into a primary relationship, because that advice works not just for married couples, but for anybody entering into a primary relationship. He was instead on the back end of the relationship. He knew when they were in the upper room, and what is taught in several chapters in the teens of John's gospel was that he was going to be leaving them physically. He was going to do what he said he was going to do, and that is be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and hung on a cross and then rise from the dead. But they couldn't really understand all that, so he started this long teaching in the teens chapters, in most of the teen chapters of John's gospel, to try to prepare them for what it would be like when his relationship with them changed, which is what makes it have a lot of commonality with what I used to teach in premarital instruction in regard to couples having children. Now, the easy thing to do would have been to say, here's the rules, folks. Here's what you have to do. Here's what you have to do. And I did lay down a few rules. I used to tell them, like, have you got a will? No, we're young, and we haven't thought about a will. So, well, before you have a child, get a will. Because if you don't, and something happens to either or both of you, it's going to be more tricky to have that child taken care of into the future. Lay down the law. That was a rule, I said. You got to obey this commandment. And it'd be easy to look at Jesus' farewell discourse as one of commandments. But you see, Jesus didn't make many commandments. Oh, he had a couple. He did say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He did say, wash them feet. He did say, do this in remembrance of me. But for the most part, he didn't really make a lot of commandments. And so he included in this instruction to them of what it was going to be like for them to have a new relationship after he was gone. He said, here's a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Sounds simple? Yeah. Love one another as I have loved you. Simple? Yeah. Easy to do? Not so much. Because if you really think about how Jesus loved us, there's a cross up there, and that's how much he loved us. Can we enter into relationships where we put ourselves aside for the sake of the other, but not just for the sake of the other, for the sake of our relationship? It is indeed a challenge. And as I said before, it's not just a challenge in marriage. It's a challenge in any primary relationship. The easy thing to do would be to say, just follow these easy rules and it's all going to work out. But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, he challenges us to learn to live without his physical presence and continued reminder of teaching, and instead relies on a new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends. I call you friends, not hired hands, not servants. The servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but friends. Before you got married and you were young and healthy, you probably didn't share much with the person that you dated, at least for a couple of years into the dating. And even then, you probably kept a few secrets. But think about your best friend. Think about the person that you really relate to. You probably shared everything. And that is the essence of laying down one's life for the other, that we share everything. And we can forgive anything, so that the power of following the commandment to love one another as Christ has loved us is the power to see the Christ in each other and relate to each other in that sacred and profound love that is greater than anything we can ask or imagine. My kindergarten teacher used to say, there's a little piece of Jesus in everybody. You may have heard me say that before, but you're probably going to hear me say it again, because to me it's one of the seeds of the gospel, that we can look at all of our friends and neighbors and even enemies and say there's a little piece of Jesus in everybody. Later on, after I'd started my career, I worked with a great priest who went on to become Bishop of Western North Carolina, the Reverend Bob Johnson, who grew up in my home parish, and I knew him from youth. But he used to say, the presence of Christ in this commandment to share the bread that is his presence is not that little wafer. No. It's the sharing of that wafer. It's when we touch each other and therefore share in the love that is the love that Jesus bears unto us in calling us friends and in giving us this commandment. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you to go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. And whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he shall give to you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand and let us profess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed found on page 9 in our bulletin. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your glory and honor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our prayer list. Margaret,
Jean, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and J.R., Blair, John and Jen, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jamie, Margaret, Renee, Jane, Brian, Danny, Richard, Regina, Eileen, Larry, Jean, Michael, Joe, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ben Bat, Doug, Ed, Alberta, Tom, Angela, Jane, Tommy, Zach, Betsy, Michael, Claire, Georgina, Joyce, Bernard, Russ, Sarah, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Jean, Richard, Jackie, Alan, Audrey, Pat, Nick.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Are there other intercessions?
Thank you.
We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Jane Nemec. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
You left somebody out.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Years ago, I tried to institute a new rule in the parish I was serving, and I was caught with a lot of grief for suggesting it, but I'm going to suggest it to you, but it's just a suggestion, not a commandment, okay? The rule should be no empty pews in front of you. If you want to sit in the back of the church, it ought to be in the back of those seated in the church, not in the back. Well, a Baptist once told me, a Baptist whose wedding I was doing told me once, you know why the Baptists all sit in the back of the church? It's so the hellfire and brimstone will fall down before it gets to them. But, you know, whatever. So that's a suggestion, not a commandment. We do have announcements from both Dee and from Pat and from the choir as well. Good. Come on up, everybody that has announcements. Come on up.
Just remember about in May, we're taking your favorite hymns, and it's out there in the narthex on the table. Little thing that you can put your favorite hymns, put your name, the hymn, and the hymn number. As many hymns as you want, and then I can work with them in June and July and August. That's my first announcement. My second announcement is some of you all know that my hobby is pottery, and I cleaned out all my extra pottery. You know, I've just got too much pottery. Some of it's sort of imperfect, let's say. And but it's microwave safe, and it's oven safe up to 350. It's all dishwasher safe. Some of it's for cooking, some of it's not, obviously, because of the way it's shaped. But anyway, I thought maybe if you wanted some, you could get a piece or whatever and then donate it for a donation, and then it would go for a new microwave in the kitchen. So, you know, we'll try to see if we can get that. Thank you.
That pottery, there's no imperfections. It's absolutely the most beautiful. The flaws are gorgeous. So please shop. I just have a brief announcement about the food pantry. Mother Pat and Ed have been gracious to line up Becky from Met Men, which will be at the church this Thursday at 9:30 to meet with the vestry, the folks that are interested in serving with the food pantry, and anyone in the congregation interested in attending. And Ed, I'll be getting you, so Ed will be here. He's one of our mentors. So 9:30.
I'm getting ready for Pentecost, which is 2 weeks away. And this year we're going to bring back languages. So anybody who knows a foreign language, they can be any. When I was at Thankful, we had somebody do Arabic. But okay, Dee is voluntary for German, Ed for Latin, we have French, Stella will do Spanish, but it doesn't have to be just one person per language. We can have little clusters. Okay, so I want Pentecost to be really special. It's the birthday of the church, and I'm hoping if there are grandchildren that we might have some other ages attend. Okay, we'll give the balloons to the children if you bring them. All right, so see me. I have copies of the different language papers with copies of different languages, French, German. I used to do Russian. I may get my mother to teach me Polish. Who knows? It's going to be a great Pentecost 2 weeks from today.
All right, so I've got two announcements. The first is, once again, I'm having one of our town hall meetings in the library after church. And for those that haven't been here for these announcements in the past, this is just a time for all of us to get together, ask questions, discuss whatever's on our mind. And I'm going to try and do this every other Sunday rather than burdening you with every Sunday. So, for those that wish to have a conversation after church, meet me in the library. We can talk about anything concerning the church that is on your mind. Second announcement. This Tuesday is the first of our Simple Meal Tuesday night services. And for those that haven't heard about this yet, we're going to do a regular Tuesday night Eucharist at 6 o'clock, followed by a simple meal, and Reverend Prairie is going to walk us through the patriarchs, is my understanding. And Kelly, do you have anything else you want to tell us about this Tuesday night? Okay.
The only thing is that we'll do it the second Tuesday of the month, and
So, we hope to see all of you here at the church Tuesday night at 6 o'clock for Eucharist and then a meal and some time to fellowship together. So, I'll hope to see you all then.
And I commit to being finished by 8 o'clock so you can get home before sunset. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in Him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
forever and ever.
Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you, and feed on Him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah.